KOIN in Portland, it's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. American planes are flying supplies in and refugees out once again in Indochina as government forces in Cambodia and South Vietnam continue to lose ground. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mike Snatowski has the latest from Phnom Penh.
The American airlift of supplies has resumed once again. The airlift was called off all day Friday because of the continuing artillery threat to Pochentong Airport. The Khmer Rouge are still firing at least one howitzer from around the embattled railway town of Tu Le, and a government drive to clear the area has bogged down. A spokesman for the U.S. Embassy admitted it is a calculated risk to restart the airlift, but said it is important to keep enough supplies coming in. The steady insurgent gains northwest of the airport are posing an even greater threat. Pressure along Phnom Penh's entire northern arc remains intense, with both sides suffering heavy losses. The Khmer Rouge, however, are making steady gains. Mike Spatowski for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
The South Vietnamese situation seems to be changing by the minute, but the general picture remains a grim one for the Saigon government. For 10 hours, radio contact with Da Nang was interrupted, spurring reports the city had fallen to attacking communist forces, but radio contact now has been resumed. There are reports the city is taking a pasting from North Vietnamese rockets and artillery, that troops have moved into part of the country's second largest city, that civil disorders also are occurring. Despite that, an American Boeing 727 left Saigon a short time ago, resuming the evacuation airlift that was interrupted for 24 hours after terrified refugees rushed the planes. And the United States is reported to have begun an emergency airlift of military equipment and medical supplies to South Vietnam. CBS News continues following this message.
They said it couldn't be done by fleas and ticks all in one.
They said it couldn't be done, but Hearts did it. At last, a collar for your dog or cat that not only kills fleas, but fights ticks too. Fleas and ticks are a year-round problem, so give your pet all-over protection right now. Look for the box with the bullseye, the new Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
I'm Lee Jordan inviting you to a wonderful weekend inside the movies, 1975. Actress Jenna Rollins tells us why she enjoyed her strenuous role in A Woman Under the Influence.
An actor prays for a hard, difficult, exhausting part. That's our peculiarities. That is what does make us happy.
Just one view of the movies, 1975. 30 broadcasts April 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
At least 17 people are known to have perished in a spring blizzard that howled across a 1,000-mile belt of the Rockies, Northern Plains, and Upper Midwest. Searchers in planes, National Guard helicopters, snowplows, and snowmobiles hunted for marooned victims until darkness halted the effort. After people, the next concern is livestock. South Dakota Civil Defense Director Dick Trankel gave CBS News this outlook.
We're going to have a severe loss of livestock. There's no question about that. It's the calving season, of course, for many of the ranchers in this country. And some of these fellows have their calves in close to the farmsteads, but yet they don't have feed, or the shelter belts that they have them in is filled up and they can't get to them to feed them. And, you know, they're just going to lose the calves and maybe the cows themselves. So it's going to be very, very detrimental to the state as far as agricultural income goes.
South Dakota Civil Defense Head Dick Trankel. A tornado that swirled down on the south side of Warren, Arkansas Friday night killed at least 3 people and injured 50 others. Damage estimates are not available yet, but the National Weather Service says it has received reports of extensive loss. The Arkansas National Guard has been called out, and additional state troopers also were sent to Warren to help in the rescue effort and prevent looting. Earlier, a twister hit south of El Dorado, Arkansas, near the Louisiana line. Some houses damaged, no injuries reported. More in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Sighs of relief in northern Utah after officials checked the number of dams holding back major reservoirs. Apparently, all managed to come through the Thursday night earthquake unscathed. Small remote reservoirs still are being checked by observers traveling in snowmobiles. The quake, which hit 6.3 on the Richter scale, was the strongest in the United States since a 1971 tremor in California. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Bonneville Power Administration has submitted a final environmental statement covering its fiscal 1976 proposed construction program to the President's Council on Environmental Quality. The agency proposes to work on approximately 300 miles of new transmission lines and five new substations. Work also will continue on 1,000 miles of lines previously authorized by Congress. Copies of the statement are being mailed to government agencies, groups, and individuals who commented on the draft statement distributed last October. The Klamath Council of Oregon Federation of Physicians and Dentists will start April 15th not seeing welfare patients in their offices. The council, representing half of the county's 50 members of the medical profession, say they only will see such patients in the county health department or in the emergency rooms of hospitals. The council says the action was taken because of the need to combat what they termed increased salaries for office personnel and for supplies. An inmate at the Washington State Penitentiary who was thought to have escaped last Monday has been found dead in a lumber storage area on the prison grounds in Walla Walla. The inmate, Robert Allen Grant of Mabton, was found hanging by a 4-foot length of chain from a rafter in the building. The Walla Walla County coroner says the 36-year-old Grant, who had been dead for about 3 days when his body was discovered, there were no signs of violence on or near the body. Grant entered the prison last June on a conviction in Killiam County for unlawful possession of a controlled substance. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area will be fair tonight, Saturday, and Easter Sunday, but with high cloudiness at times, lows in the upper 20s and low 30s, highs in the mid-50s Saturday, and in the upper 50s on Sunday. Chance of measurable rainfall less than 10% through Saturday night. Right now in downtown Portland, it's 51 degrees. That's KOIN News at 11:08. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Do you like riddles? Of course you do. Give me a good riddle that seems to defy solution and I'll settle down happily to unravel it like a cat with a ball of twine. And like the cat, I usually succeed in making a tangled mess of it. But untangling a mystery, finding the answer to the riddle is fun. Unless, of course, you happen to be involved in it personally, and your life depends on finding a fast solution, like Rachel James.
Suicide, Lieutenant Forbes. Mr. Carson committed suicide.
No, Mrs. James. He was murdered.
That's impossible.
Why impossible?
Because he was the only one in his room. The windows were locked on the inside, and the door was locked on the inside. If Mr. Carson was murdered... how did the murderer escape?
Frankly, Mrs. James, I don't know.
Well, I do. The answer's obvious. Suicide.
Well, the answer is anything but obvious. Because it was murder.
Our mystery drama, Key to Murder was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
And when you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
This is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you.
I come home in the evening.
I might as well come right out and say it. I'm no Sherlock Holmes. Are you? Well, whether you are or not, here's your chance to match wits with Police Lieutenant Michael Forbes. Mike, to you. Luckily, you have nothing to lose. Mike had everything to lose. The life of the woman he had come to love. The story begins in a certain old four-story brownstone in a certain large city on a certain cold and wintry day. In the rather stuffy Victorian living room, Rachel James and her closest friend, Minerva Hall, are having a much-needed cup of tea.
Another cup, Rachel?
Oh, I guess so, Minerva. Might as well enjoy it while I can still afford it.
Oh, come on now. Things aren't that bad. Just because two of your roomers packed up and left.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Parker's making noises about doing the same thing. I don't know that I want to go on living in a boarding house where there's been a suicide. That's what she told me this morning.
It's always darkest before the dawn, Rachel, and
Minerva, please. This is no time for one of your life can be beautiful proverbs. I'm in a real blockbuster of a bind. You know as well as I do that I've gone through an awful lot since I inherited this rooming house from Aunt Hattie.
I know it hasn't been easy for you.
Easy? What with inflation and taxes and mortgage payments and skyrocketing fuel bills and I don't know what all, I've just barely managed to keep my head above water. And now with two boarders gone, three rooms empty, counting poor Mr. Carson, I don't know how I'll make ends meet. I just don't know.
One thing you can do is stop worrying. We'll get by somehow.
We?
If worse comes to worse, you can always sell the place. And I've got my job at Gibbon Real Estate. Don't look at me like that, Rachel. After all, I am your oldest and closest friend.
Oh, my dear Minerva, let's face facts. You just get by as it is on what they pay you as a clerk. And there's... Well... I don't like to mention
it. I know. My mother. If it weren't for you footing the bills, I'd never be able to keep her in that sanitarium in Cleveland.
Well, that's another problem to worry about. What happens to her if I go broke?
Well, she is really not your responsibility.
No, but she is. She's your mother. I couldn't let anything happen to her any more than I could let anything happen to you. There's somebody at the door.
Maybe someone who wants to rent a room.
Yes?
Miss James?
Yes?
Lieutenant Mike Forbes, homicide.
Lieutenant, homicide? You mean the police?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, won't you come in? It's a terribly cold day, isn't it?
Well, cold and windy. I walked over from the precinct station. It was just a couple of blocks. The wind darn near blew this pipe of mine right out of my mouth.
I see you held on to it.
You object to pipe smoking, Miss James? I mean, if you do...
Oh, no, that's quite all right. Well, now, Lieutenant, I have one or two rooms I think you might like. There's one on the fourth floor that's very spacious. It overlooks the garden in the back. It's very quiet.
Now, Miss James, I'm not here to rent a room. I'm investigating the death of Harold Carson.
Oh. Will you come into the living room, then? Minerva, this is Lieutenant Forbes of the police. My friend, Miss Minerva Hall.
How do you do?
I do.
Won't you sit down, Lieutenant?
Oh, thank you.
Well, now, you say you're investigating poor Mr. Carson's suicide.
Yes, ma'am. The fact of the matter is, it wasn't suicide.
Not suicide?
No, ma'am. Harold Carson was murdered.
Murdered? Oh, but that's not possible.
Why isn't it?
Well, you know how he was found, don't you? I mean, don't the police make up reports and things?
Oh, I read the dope sheet, all right.
Well, then you know he was found on the floor with his head right next to the gas heater and all the jets turned on full.
Yeah, I know, but...
Minerva here and I smelled the gas and we traced it to Mr. Carson's room and we called to him. But he didn't answer, and then we tried to open the door. But it was locked on the inside, so Min and I had to break it in. And thank heaven she was here, because I'd never have been able to do it alone.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And there he was, the poor man. He was dead. A suicide.
Ma'am, I hate to disagree with you, but Mr. Carson was murdered. It looked like suicide, yes, but it was meant to look like suicide. But the autopsy report from the medical examiner's office states that the old man was first rendered unconscious by a blow to the head, and that death by asphyxiation, gas, followed.
Someone knocked him out and then turned on the gas?
Yes.
But he couldn't have been murdered. If he was, what happened to the murderer?
What do you mean?
Well, how did he get out of the room? The windows and door were locked on the inside.
No, that couldn't be.
Lieutenant, the key was in the door lock, on the inside. This is no brownstone with old doors, the kind that have those big keys, you know. And there's only one key to each room.
You don't have duplicates?
No, and even if I or someone did have a duplicate, you can't unlock the door from the outside without pushing the other key out of the lock. We'd have found it on the floor, but not in the lock.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. Very.
Oh, that match. Put it off.
Just relighting
the pipe. No, put out the match. I smell gas. Or I think I do.
Oh, not again. Not again.
You're right. I smell it now.
It seems to be coming from... Yes, it is. It's from upstairs.
All right, here. I'll go first.
Oh, if it's another...
It isn't. It can't be. Lightning never strikes twice in the same...
Oh, man.
Smell is strong. Very strong. Here on the third floor. Yeah. Coming from this room.
Mrs. Parker.
Open up. Open up in there.
Break it in. Break it in.
Mrs. Parker. Oh, Mrs. Parker.
No. Oh, no.
Open the window.
Let me. Lock from the inside. Door locked on the inside, too. Key in the lock.
Mrs. Parker. Oh, let's get her to the window. Fresh air.
No. Don't bother. She's dead.
But maybe if we can get some air into her lungs...
It won't cure a broken neck.
Broken?
You can see the way it's twisted, Miss Hall. It's broken, all right.
Then she's been murdered, too.
Yes, Miss James. She's been murdered, too.
Hello? Yes. Just a minute. It's for you, Lieutenant.
Oh, thank you, Miss James. You? Well, I've questioned all but one border, Inspector Morris. A guy named Whitman. No, I'll stick here. It's just 5 o'clock, and Miss James says he gets home promptly at 5 every day. Yeah, well, okay, I'll see you in your office. You look pretty beat, Miss James. Why don't you go to lie down for a while?
No, it isn't rest I need, Lieutenant. It's just a little peace of mind.
Yeah, I guess so. 2 murders in your house in less than 36 hours.
And a wrecked livelihood. 2 more boarders, after you questioned them, told me that they were moving out. And nobody is going to move in. You can be sure of that.
Things kind of rough, huh?
Oh, you don't know the half of it.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen your husband around. You a widow, maybe?
I'm divorced.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you needn't be. He was a drunk. I put up with that for years. I would have gone on, I guess, except that he started to cheat on me. There was another woman. I never found out who she was, but I...
Oh, I guess this is Whitman, huh?
Yes, it is. Mr. Whitman, will you come in here, please?
If it's about the rent, Mrs. James, I didn't know anybody else was here.
No, it's not about the rent, Mr. Whitman. This is Lieutenant Forbes of Homicide. And according to him, Mr. Carson didn't commit suicide. He was murdered. And then just a couple of hours ago...
Let me handle this, Miss James. Sit down, Mr. Whitman. John C. Whitman, right?
Yeah, but what happened a couple of hours ago?
I'll ask the question, sir.
Well, you don't understand. I'm a newspaper reporter, Daily Globe. Well, not exactly. I want to be a reporter, and I need a break, you know? I keep looking for a break, and if there's been another suicide here, wait, you said murder.
There's been another death, yes. Miss James has filled me in on you pretty much, so just answer me a couple of questions now, huh?
Sure.
You work at the Daily Globe, 8 to 4:30, right?
That's right, 8-hour day, half hour for lunch.
Yeah. Now, Miss James tells me you always leave promptly at 7:30 in the morning, but today you didn't leave until 1 in the afternoon.
Well, I was sort of off my feet. I called in sick.
On the day Mr. Carson met his death, on that day you called in sick too, didn't you?
What are you getting at, Lieutenant?
Well, just routine questions, Mr. Whitman. How well do you know Mrs. Parker?
Mrs. Parker? Did something happen to her? Is that what this is all about?
How well did you know her?
Oh, just to say hello to, that's all.
How well did you know Mr. Carson?
Same. Wish I'd known him better. If I'd known him better, I might have written a story my editor would have printed. But he didn't. Into the scrap basket. Says it wasn't good enough.
Mr. Whitman wrote an account of what happened the other day.
Thank you, Mrs. James. I assumed as much.
You're welcome, Lieutenant Forrest.
Thanks, Mr. Whitman.
Yeah, now, about Mrs. Parker. What happened? I could get my teeth into one good story. A scoop, you know? Listen, the city editor would make me a reporter, maybe. So, Mrs. Parker, what happened?
Mrs. James will tell you, or you can read it in the evening edition.
One suspect, Lieutenant. Is that all?
Yes, Inspector. Whitman. 32 years old. Been in newspaper work since he graduated from journalism school. Dying to be a reporter and hasn't made it all these years. He's hot for a scoop. Well, it struck me he could maybe be making his own scoop.
Well, if he made this one, how come he didn't cash in on it? You checked his city editor. He told you Whitman never said a word about Mrs. Parker's murder.
Yep.
Yeah, well, have a look at this dope sheet.
Harold Carson withdrew his life savings from the bank, $4,300, the day before he was murdered.
Ah, read on, Lieutenant.
Mrs. Parker withdrew her life savings yesterday.
And not a dollar of that money, cold cash, was found in Carson's room or Parker's. You find out who's clever enough to pull this locked door trick. Who was clever enough to get Carson and Parker to withdraw every cent they had in the world. And you'll have your murderer. In fact, I may have your murderer for you.
I give...
Rachel James. Mrs. Rachel James.
No, not her. Listen, Inspector, she's one of the nicest women I've ever met.
She's also a convicted felon, Lieutenant.
What?
Back in 65, she served 6 months for theft.
The look on Lieutenant Mike Forbes' face reveals not only shock, but something else. I don't know what it is myself. Maybe, well, no, it couldn't be that. He's only known Rachel James a few hours at most. And I've never believed much in love at first sight. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out when I return for Act Two.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear the freedom spirit. Like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all, living free, living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So with Buick Skyrock SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skyrock SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free.
First time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Does a murderer, or anyone else if it comes to that, get out of a room when all exits, windows and doors, have been locked from inside? Impossible? No. After all, whoever murdered old Harold Carson and Mrs. Parker and tried to make their deaths look like suicide must have accomplished what only seems impossible. Up to this point, I've been unable to figure it out, and perhaps you have too. So, let's join Lieutenant Mike Forbes in the living room of that old four-story brownstone as he tries getting to the bottom of things.
Lieutenant, are you accusing me of murdering Mr. Carson and Mrs. Parker?
No, Mrs. James.
Then why did you come here to ask her if she'd ever been convicted of theft?
Now, Miss Hall, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk with Mrs. James alone.
I do mind. Rachel's my friend, my inseparable friend. Whatever you have to say, you can say in front of me.
Do as he says, Min. I'll be all right.
Well, if you need me, I won't be far off.
Miss James, I'm sorry if I'm causing you an embarrassment, but Two murders have been committed in this house, and I've got to get at the truth of things.
I'm ruined, Lieutenant.
That bad?
It couldn't be worse. I'm afraid I'm going to have to sell, whether I want to or not.
Well, at least you'd get a good price. Land values in this area are high. Gone up, too, since they built that office complex and shopping mall over on 8th. Yeah, but, look, I've got to ask you these questions, Miss James, and it'll be in your best interest to answer them. Now then, you did serve a 6-month sentence for theft, didn't you?
Yes. And I suppose that, makes me a murder suspect right there.
Oh, no. I just have to check out everybody's all. Now, about that theft. Were you guilty?
No.
Was Miss Hall?
No. But it could have looked as if she was. And... Oh. You know. You've known all along.
Well, like I said, I've been checking.
Well, if you knew, why did you bother to ask?
To see how you'd react. You reacted fine.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Getting back to the theft, your friend Miss Hall, well, her boss had given her $900 in cash to put in the bank. Is that right? Well, never mind. I know it's right. You came to the office to go to lunch with her and waited for her at her desk while she was in the ladies' room. When she came back, she opened her desk drawer to get the envelope with the money in it, and it was gone. Now, you just told me you weren't guilty. If that's so, why'd you plead guilty? Well, why?
To protect me, Lieutenant. Yes, I've been listening outside the door just in case you got too rough with Rachel.
Oh, Min.
You might as well know, Lieutenant. You probably know anyway. I stole that money.
Min!
No, it's got to come out now. My mother came down ill, very ill, and I needed money. When my boss gave me that $900, well, the temptation was too big for me. It was a stupid thing to do, especially since I was sure to be suspected, as I was. But that's when this wonderful woman here stepped forward and said that she'd done it.
Well, you had to be with your mother. She needed you. And I was divorced and living alone.
Oh, you sacrificed yourself for me, Rachel. And I'll never forget it. Someday I'll get the chance to repay you.
Yeah, well, I'll move along now. And thank you for being so frank and open with me about the theft of that money.
You knew anyway.
No. No, Miss Hall. I didn't know.
Then as I see it, Lieutenant, you've got 3 suspects now.
Three, Inspector?
Jack Whitman, Minerva Hall, Rachel James.
Rachel, Miss James, you can eliminate her. She didn't do it.
Well, you seem awfully sure of that. What makes you so sure?
Well, I just can't imagine her killing anyone. You know, she's a very decent sort. Generous, sympathetic. Well, anyhow, that's the picture I get from the boarders I talk to and my own observation.
Attractive, too, huh?
Meaning what, Inspector?
Well, don't let any interest you may be developing in Rachel James put blinders on you. Now, about this Miss Hall, this close friend of Mrs. James, you say she admitted stealing that $900 and letting Mrs. James take the rap for her?
Yeah, but she's no common thief, Inspector. No, it's the Whitman guy who interests me. I talked to his editor at the Daily Globe. Seems Whitman has been knocking himself out to get to be a reporter for years, but just hasn't got what it takes. He fools himself into thinking all he needs is a break.
And you figure maybe he's making his own breaks with these murders.
That could be.
The more I think about it, Lieutenant, the more it seems to me cracking this case depends on finding the answer to those locked rooms.
I couldn't agree more. Check the doors and the windows. They're solid. No gimmicks. You'll laugh, but I even checked for secret panels. Yeah, well, it's an old brownstone, you know. You never know what you might find, but no dice.
Well, keep after it. There's an answer. Find it.
Yeah. I got a feeling I better find it fast.
Why?
I don't know. Just one of those feelings you get. Feeling that tells me there could be another murder.
Rachel, this is Mr. Gibbon. Arthur Gibbon, my boss. Mr. Gibbon, Rachel James.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Miss James.
Oh, won't you sit down, Mr. Gibbon?
Thank you. Well, Miss Hall has told me of your situation here. Says that you talked to her about selling your house. And as I understand it, two murders have been committed in this house. Most of your boarders have moved out because of them. Well, the house has gotten itself a bad name. That's unfortunate. It's most unfortunate. Brings its value down, you know.
Yes, I guess so.
Tell me, Miss James, any idea what your house is worth?
Well, no, not really. I was thinking you might make me an offer.
Well, yes, I could. Under the circumstances, the best I can do, the very best, would be $50,000.
Oh! You're not serious, Mr. Gibbon.
Well, I'm afraid I am.
Well, the land alone is worth more than that. Much more.
Yes, but the bad name...
Mr. Gibbon, the house has a bad name, so far as renting rooms to boarders is concerned. But if you are the businessman Minerva's always told me you are, you wouldn't be buying the house. You'd be buying the land to tear the house down and put up an office building or something.
Yes, that's true enough, but, the land isn't as valuable as I gather you think it is, and as I understand it, you have no option but to sell.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Gibbon, but your offer is much too low. I guess the thing for me to do is to, get bids, or whatever they're called, on the property, and, take the highest.
It's your house, your land. You can do as you wish. But I ought to tell you, you're making a mistake. As I said, land values are down. But if you change your mind, Mrs. James, you let me know, huh? My offer will still stand. No. That's all right, Minerva. I'll see myself out. Oh, you won't forget about the deeds.
The deeds?
Yeah, ones I want to work on tonight.
Oh, yeah, those, yes.
I'll see you in the office then at 7.
At 7. I'll be there.
Goodbye, Miss James.
I could be wrong, Rachel, but I don't know. $50,000 seems like a good offer to me.
No, you could be right. But I'll shop around. No.
There's no other way, man.
Then there's no other way, Art, and the hell with it.
No. Well, you listen to me, baby.
Oh, no, Art, no. I've gone as far as I'm going to go.
This is no time to chicken out.
I never bargained for killing Rachel.
I didn't either. But how was I to know she isn't the naive pushover you told me she was?
Oh, it's that police Lieutenant Forbes.
What do you mean?
Oh, there's a change in Rachel. A subtle change. I noticed it right after she met Forbes.
Well, I still don't get what you...
Neither do I. All I know is there's a man in her life again. For the first time in years.
Well, all right. So there's a change in her. There's $1 million
riding
on it.
No, I cannot kill Rachel. Carson and Parker, yes, they meant nothing to me. Nothing. I even conned them into taking their life savings out of the bank. Suckers. But to kill Rachel. No, Art, no, I can't do it.
You'll do it. You've got to.
I won't.
You were willing enough to wreck a boarding house business. Willing enough so I could move in, grab that property for 10 cents on the dollar.
Taking her money is one thing. Taking her life. No, Art, no. I guess there's some little spark of decency left in me.
Decency? You can talk about decency. Conning her all these years, sucking her dry, like those monthly handouts to keep your dear mama in a sanitarium. Your dear mama who died years ago.
Money's one thing.
Money's everything. Without it, you might just as well be dead. Now, you listen. I didn't set this whole thing up. I didn't explain the locked door trick and everything else.
A locked door trick that didn't work. The cops found out it was murder, not suicide.
Thanks to you, not me. If you'd suffocated Carson and Parker like I told you...
I couldn't do it. It was too horrible that way.
Okay, so you bashed one on the skull and broke the neck of the other?
Accidentally.
Deliberately. You did it. And now you do it to Rachel James. I don't care either. Do it.
No. What are you doing?
Calling the police.
What for?
To tip them off on how Carson was murdered. And Parker?
No. You're as guilty as I am.
But not as involved. In fact, I'm not involved at all, men. I've seen to that.
Give me that one. Filthy swine.
Tonight, men. Killer, tonight.
Well, a spark of decency may still flicker in Minerva Hall's soul, but clearly it's been thoroughly quenched by Mr. Arthur Gibbons. Or has it? We'll see. We'll also see how someone can walk out of a room locked on the inside when I return for Act 3.
Hello, I'm Burl Ives, and I bet I know something about you. You like to surprise your family with exciting side dishes. And Uncle Ben's has two great rice dishes you sure ought to try. First, there's Uncle Ben's rice and gravy, a 5-minute rice that comes with a packet of rich brown or chicken-flavored gravy. It's delicious. And you'll never again have to serve rice without gravy or gravy without rice. Then there's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice, herbs, and seasoning. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal. And keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. That's because there are no compromises in quality. These days, that's kind of rare. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So try Uncle Ben's rice and gravy and Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator. Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
You sound rattled, Angel.
I'm frantic, Sam. I went to buy the carpet for the office and I got so confused. There are too many kinds. I didn't know what to ask or what to buy.
I'll help you, young lady.
Mercy, who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, when you're choosing carpet, make sure you pick a long-wearing one that'll go with your walls, draperies, and upholstery. Beware of so-called fantastic bargains. And don't buy a carpet that isn't labeled as to fiber content.
Oh, Sam, now I know what to look for and ask before I buy a carpet.
You floor me, Angel.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Strange and baffling thing, human emotion. Even the most skilled psychiatrists, I'm told, have trouble unraveling the tangled skeins of motivation which drive us to do one thing or another. I'm thinking of Minerva Hall,
who, though she murdered Mr. Carson and Mrs. Parker, is repelled by the prospect of murdering Rachel James. Makes sense, I guess. After all, they've had a close relationship for years. And as for Rachel, sensing that Mike Forbes is something to lean on, somebody who can give her some protection, perhaps even shield her against a world she's finding it more and more difficult to cope with, well, let's see.
Sit down, Lieutenant. Cup of tea.
No, thanks, Miss James.
It's a cold day. It's bitter cold. I thought you might like something to warm you up.
Well, I could use something.
You mean something stronger than tea? But you're on duty.
Well, not officially. Not officially, I'm not.
Well, scotch?
Yeah.
Bourbon, then.
Rye, actually.
Oh, dear, I don't think I... Well, I might, but look. Lieutenant, if you're not on duty, officially, why are you here?
Oh, that, two reasons. One is your friend's mother.
Minerva, her mother?
Yeah. Is it a fact you've been helping to support Miss Hall's mother in a sanitarium in Cleveland?
Oh, yes. But how did you know?
Oh, there's lots of ways. Funny thing about police work, you start digging into one thing and you come up with 10 other things.
Oh, here you are.
Oh, thank you.
And if you'd like to smoke your pipe.
Oh, well, thanks. Tell you the truth, I bought a new one.
A new pipe?
Well, the old one, I guess it was getting kind of rank. Try a new kind of tobacco, too. So if you really don't mind...
No. Well, you go right ahead. Oh, about Min's mother. Money has always been tight with Min, and I've just... helped out where I could, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm. I see. What is it you, like about Miss Hall so much? Hmm? What makes her such a good friend?
Well, that's a funny question, Lieutenant. I'd do anything for Min, and she'd do anything for me. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You said you had another reason for coming to see me.
Yes.
What is it? Well?
You. Now, wait a minute. Don't get me wrong, Miss James. Rachel. I don't know how to put this exactly, but... Well, it's like this. Hang it all, Rachel. I like you.
Well, I like you too, Lieutenant.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, women, they scare me. Always have. But not you, though.
Mm-hmm.
You, well, you know what I mean?
I think I do, yes. Come in. Oh, Minerva.
Feeling better?
Oh, sure. I just thought I'd lie down for a while.
Brought you a cup of broth. Good night.
Oh, thank you. That's very thoughtful of you. This bedroom of mine always has been, even with the gas heater going.
Yeah, so here. This will warm you up.
Mm-hmm.
So you did the town with Lieutenant Forbes last night, did you?
Uh-huh. It was a marvelous time. Just to be taken out again would have been fun, but Mike... He's a wonderful man, Min.
You better be careful. You know what they say. Marry in haste, repent and leave.
Oh, Min, who said anything about marriage?
Your eyes and that look, that's what says.
Oh, nonsense. There's no thought of marriage at all. We hardly know each other. Oh, I'm sleepier than I thought. I better start waking up. I have an appointment at Metropolitan Realty at 11 this morning.
About the house and land? Oh, drink that broth while it's hot.
Yeah. And I've got appointments at a couple of other real estate firms this afternoon, too. It's going to be able to get those bids I mentioned, baby.
You won't improve on the offer Mr. Gibbons made, Rachel.
Well, maybe not. Oh, good heavens. I can't be this sleepy.
Yes. Yes, Rachel, you can't.
Oh, nonsense. I didn't get much sleep, that's for sure, but... Oh, what in the world...
Well, you dropped your cup and saucer.
Oh, I don't understand that. How could I...
You're drugged, Rachel.
Huh?
Sleeping pills in your broth. Enough to knock you off fast.
Sleeping pills? Min, what is this?
I don't want to do this, Rachel, but I got no choice.
No choice?
It's your neck or mine. It was Art's idea. Art Gibbons. We're lovers, Rachel. Well, we were.
Oh, and Min, how could you do this? How could...
Rachel. Rachel. Goodbye, Rachel. Coming, coming. Oh, Lieutenant Forbes.
Miss Hall. Miss James in?
Oh, yes, but she's lying down. I hear you two painted the town together last night, huh?
Oh, I wouldn't say painted it exactly. Enjoyed ourselves, though. Oh, Mr. Whitman, isn't it?
Yeah, how are you, Lieutenant?
Okay. Yeah, it's quite a bundle of laundry you got there.
Yeah, always go out and pick it up Saturday morning. My day off. Well, see ya.
I'll tell Mrs. James you dropped by, Lieutenant.
Oh, well, maybe she'll be up before I go. I really dropped by to see you, Miss Hall.
Me? About what?
No, one or two things. Your mother, for one.
My mother?
Yes. According to my information, Rachel's been supporting her in that Cleveland sanitarium for years, giving you a monthly check for just that purpose.
Oh, what of it?
I checked with the sanitarium. They told me your mother died 4 years ago.
Yes!
What?
What?
I smell gas up here. Lieutenant, Miss Hall.
Hey, let's get up there.
It's coming from Mrs. James' room. Mrs. James' room right there.
Oh, no. It's locked. Rachel? Rachel!
Get out of the way.
Rachel!
Rachel! Whitman, get that window open.
Yeah, okay.
Rachel! Rachel!
Window's stuck.
Yeah, break it fast.
Lieutenant,
No. Thank God, no. We got here in time. Get into the window. Now breathe, Rachel. And you, Miss Hall. Minerva, stay right where you are.
Oh, I'm just going down.
Stay where you are. You're under arrest for murder.
Murder? Arrest? What are you talking about?
You know damn well what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're out of your mind. You're not making any sense. We find Rachel on the floor by the gas heater, the door locked on the inside.
Yeah, Lieutenant, the key is in lock.
And you accuse me of murder?
Murder one. And I'll make it stick, Miss Hall. I take my hat off to you, Rachel. You sure know how to broil a steak.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Mike. I will never understand how Min could have done to me what she did.
Well, it's easy enough to understand. For a cop, it is, anyhow. I meet all kinds. Generous, greedy, those you can trust, those you can't. What makes some one way and some another? Well, that I will never understand. People, you can't figure them out.
You figured out the mystery of the locked rooms fast enough.
Oh, that? Well, that didn't take much. If Minerva had been smart, she'd have gotten away with it. I mean, if she'd used sleeping pills on Carson and Mrs. Parker the way she did on you, then maybe I'd have bought the suicide bit. But
Carson and Mrs. Parker were obviously murdered. So the murderer couldn't have gotten out of their rooms, leaving them locked on the inside.
It's impossible, of course.
So, I had to keep looking for the possible. In other words, how did the murderer make it look as if each door had been locked on the inside, when actually the murderer had left the room and locked the door from the outside?
And the answer, when you found it, was so simple.
Yep.
And once you found it, you knew that the murderer had to be Minerva.
Had to be. The murderer had to be present when those doors were broken in. You and she broke into Carson's room. And she was there when the three of us, her, you, me, broke into Mrs. Parker's.
And all Min did was to take advantage of the confusion.
Mm-hmm, and slip the key, which, of course, she kept with her, into the lock on the inside. As simple as that.
Well, you may call it simple, but I think it was a marvelous piece of deduction, for which you deserve more steak and potatoes.
Oh, no, 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 I couldn't. I'm full up. I would like to smoke my pipe, though. That's okay with you?
You better know that it is. And it always will be. Mike.
As simple as that. The murderer locked the door on the outside, and then, breaking in later, simply slipped the key into the lock on the inside. Simple? I think it's ingenious. I would never have thought of it, would you? I'll be back shortly.
I can't find a decent job. I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. Well, why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Jobs for people, people for jobs.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
You'll be glad to know that Mike and Rachel are married now, with two nice kids. And they live in Rachel's brownstone house. Sentimental attachment, I guess. Mike's made captain. And, oh yes, he's got a collection of pipes now. 8 beauties. Each bought on the anniversary of the day he saved Rachel's life. Bought by Rachel. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Mary Jane Higby, Robert Dryden, and Robert Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
You can't get anything past our border guards.
Yes, it was just an idea.
Besides, we have to fly out of here. I'm going to a convention, and you're going on a tour. Now, let me apply some scientific thinking to this. How can I get that platinum up? Believe it.
You don't believe what?
What just flashed in my brain. It's so simple, so ridiculously easy. And it's absolutely foolproof.
What is?
This plan, this idea.
Oh, tell me.
No, darling. You're too important.
Well, if I'm so important, shouldn't I know?
No. Because if you knew, you might unconsciously give it away. Its success depends on your not knowing until exactly the right moment.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Bright and beautiful music comes your way from midnight to six. Local news with Gene Still. I'll see you again Monday night. My name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. Schlantje. Bye-bye. It's 12 midnight at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. The evacuation airlift from Da Nang, off, then on, now is off again. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Two World Airways planes that a short time ago were ordered to Da Nang to resume the evacuation of refugees reportedly have been ordered to turn around and go back to Saigon. There's no immediate explanation. The airlift was ordered resumed Tuesday morning after a 24-hour interruption caused by panicked, stampeding refugees who charged the planes trying to get away from the advancing North Vietnamese forces. Radio contact between Saigon and Da Nang was interrupted for some 10 hours, giving vent to reports the city had fallen, but that contact has been reestablished. There are reports the city is being shelled heavily, and North Vietnamese have penetrated the perimeter. Radio contact has been lost with Hoi An, the provincial capital only 15 miles from Da Nang. To this hour, the Saigon command has not reported an assault on Hoi An. The Saigon government confirms an earlier U.S. embassy report that an American arms and supply airlift into South Vietnam has begun. And the airlift into Phnom Penh has been resumed, this despite the word from military sources that Khmer Rouge rebels overnight penetrated the capital city's northern defense line. CBS News continues following this message.
Yeah, over here! To me!
Could be you know this funky little kid. Charlie.
Take the shot!
And to think he came that close to being just another name on a tombstone. Last summer, out at the lake, he couldn't quite make it. And what saved him was another kid, Ellen. She knew what to do because we taught her. Life-saving. You could say that's the whole business of America's good neighbor, of the American Red Cross. Sometimes we do big life-saving jobs, like feeding 500,000 people after a flood. Sometimes we do little life-saving jobs, like helping that nice old lady down the block to get to the supermarket.
What?
Life. We think it's worth saving.
What a shot!
If you do, too,
all right, we gotta
give us a hand.
Call your local Red Cross chapter.
In response to the IRA truce and in the spirit of the season, more inmates are about to be freed from prisons in Northern Ireland. Details from Peter Martin.
More detainees will be set free from Northern Ireland prisons as part of the British government gesture for Easter. A total of 40 men will be set free in what is believed to be a direct response to the provisional IRA ceasefire. The British government official responsible for Northern Ireland promised that all men held without trial will eventually be released if the truce holds. The latest releases will leave 370 Catholic men held in jail without trial. The last of the Protestant detainees were set free last week. Despite the current releases, the provisional IRA is far from satisfied. Representatives of Sinn Féin, the political wing of the IRA, are demanding a step up in the program. They have always maintained the prisoners were political hostages. Peter Martin for CBS News, Belfast.
There was unexplained violence Friday night in the usually quiet New Jersey town. We get that story from Greg Morrison of CBS radio station WCAU in Philadelphia.
Two policemen were killed and one critically injured Friday night when a sniper disrupted the quiet town of Mount Holly, New Jersey. Police Chief Eugene Stafford says the sniper, working from a third-floor window, kept 200 police officers pinned down for more than 3 hours.
Officers from the New Jersey State Police and the Broward County Prosecutor's Office responded. The suspect was apprehended on the third floor of his residence. To our knowledge, the building was occupied by his parents and an individual believed to be his brother who was paraplegic.
The suspect, identified as James Carhart, was eventually captured after being wounded. He faces two counts of murder and several assault and weapons charges. This is Greg Morrison for CBS News, Mount Holly, New Jersey.
More in a moment.
Educators realize that nerves and jitters over a test can affect a student's ability to think and thus reduce his score. An associate professor in Massachusetts, Marsha Rudman, is helping her students overcome their fears by showing them how to take the tests. I'm Lawrence Johnson, and tomorrow on What's New in Learning, I'll tell you some of the tricks Miss Rudman uses to give her students confidence in the testing room. Listen for What's New in Learning tomorrow on most of the CBS radio network stations.
Well, why don't you take tomorrow night and do something with them?
Oh, I'd like to, but I just don't have the time.
Honey, you and I have as much as anybody, 24 hours a day.
But all that time with the children, when will I get anything done around here?
Well, let's set aside one night a week and go to the park, play games.
Yeah?
Well?
It's the time I
have as much as anybody.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
President Ford tonight will tell the nation if he'll sign or veto the $22.8 billion tax cut bill. The president's speech will be carried on many of these CBS radio network stations beginning at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Some administration sources indicate Mr. Ford is unhappy with the size of the tax cut approved by the Democratic-controlled Congress, but has been counseled that the veto would be tantamount to political suicide. Mike Stanley, CBS News.